We begin this week, Bezer Hashem, Hey Omer Aleph, towards the bottom. And the Gemara on Daf Hey had brought four nafkaminas, four differences, according to the within the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, in terms of everything that was stated that must take place at the Miluim, meaning to say the Miluim, that block of 7 days, and then finally the 8th day, Vayi Bayim Hashmini. There were 7 days that were inaugurated the Mishkan, the service in the Mishkan, and as prior to that, nothing was done in the Mishkan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was that first day, and we're going to talk about it on Amud Beis, Mitzvah Shem, what took place that first day, and for 7 days prior to that, beginning on the 23rd of Adar, one day after the next, Moshe Rabbeinu went through all the motions and taught the Kehanim and put on the clothing on them to get them ready for that day. During those 7 days, we say that's days of Prisha. That's one of the Mekairis, one of the sources where indeed Rabbi Yochanan learns out that you need Prisha of 7 days before Yom HaKippurim. Okay, this we all know. And the Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion also that everything that it stated in the parsha of the Miluim was ma'ake, meaning that if you didn't have it, if it was not done, it would invalidate the avoda of that day, meaning the day that Aaron HaKohen and his sons inaugurated the Mishkan, that 8th day of the Miluim, it would invalidate it. The other mandamer of Chanina held no, only something that would be ma'akev, that would validate the avoda later on in the future generations, would it also impede the avoda and the miluim if you are lacking one of those things. We gave four nafkaminas. Rabbi Yosef said if you didn't do smicha. Rabbi Nachman said if you didn't do tenufa. Rabbi Papa said if you didn't have the prisha. And the fourth was Ravina, if you didn't have Riboy Shiva, Umashicha Shiva. I mean, if you didn't have those 7 days of the Kohen Gadol putting on the Beged, taking them off for 7 days prior to him becoming a Kohen Gadol, if you hold everything that was stated by the Miluah must have been there, so he didn't have 7 days of putting on the Begadim, he's not a kosher Kohen Gadol. But if you say, it depends, everything only that's not for that's going to be Ma'akav L'dayres, if in future times every Kohen Gadol is going to need 7 days, then it would be Ma'akav B'nei Miluah. And we know that indeed for future generations, what's the minimum amount of the time that a Kohen Gadol has to have the Begadim?
One day.
And the anointing of the Shemen HaMishcha, 1 day. And therefore, the Kuni to Rabbi Chanina, if he only did it 1 day by the Miluim, it also would be B'diyevet, it would be kosher. So the Gemara had said that, good, we know. We're going to start now, 6 lines from the bottom, the words Ashkechon. Ashkechon Riboy Shiva Lechatchila. We do find in the Pasuk that you have to have 7 days, lechatchila, you should have 7 days of the Kohen Gadol wearing the 8 begadim. But Mashiach Shiva lechatchila minalan, where do we find, we don't have an explicit pasuk that says, for 7 days he should be anointed, for 7 days Yimalei Es Yadam, he should put on the clothing. But where do we have that for 7 days you have to wear, you have to have the anointment of the oil? The Gemara has two terutzim, two answers. You could say, because since we do have a pasuk that says, 1 day is sufficient, that seems to say that optimally you should have more than that. And we'll use the number 7 because that's what we find by the clothing. The same way you could say, the pasuk actually says concerning putting on the clothing, it schleps in also the Mishicha. It says, and the special clothing that will be for Aaron, you, Levon of Achra, should be also for his sons after him. To be anointed with them and to put on the extra clothing. You see, Iskish Mashicha L'Riboy. You see, they're comparing in this pasuk, anointing the Kohen, the Kohanim, and the Begadim. Ma Riboy Shiva, just like the additional clothing should be done for 7 days. Af Mashicha Shiva, so too, the 7 days of anointing of oil should be done lechatchila for 7 days. Now the Gemara says, My time demanded Omar Kolar Kasa ben Ma'akiv. What is the reason why indeed Rabbi Yochanan says that anything that it says in the Parsha of Miluim that had to take place at that inaugurating service of Aaron and his sons in the Mishkan, anything that it says there you must have there, and if you're missing anything, you invalidate it. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Bisna, Omar Kro, because he found the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'yasisa la'aharenu lavonav kocha. And you shall do to Aaron and his sons kocha as such. And that extra word kocha emphasizes the fact that it has to be done, and if not, it's going to invalidate it. Kocha is ikuvahu. When it says kocha in the pasuk, that emphasizes that if you don't have it, it's not going to be good. Says the Gemara, Tenach, that's good. Kol milsa. Dichsiva b'hayin yana. That's very good that you use that pasuk, that this is what you shall do. So anything that it states in that parsha, meaning in the parsha of the commandment to Moshe Rabbeinu of what he is supposed to do to Aaron and his sons, must be as such. And if you're missing it, it's going to invalidate it. However, Milsa deloiksiva b'hayin yana minolan, but something that does not say explicitly in the tzivui, in the commandment to Moshe Rabbeinu of what he has to do, which was in Parshas Tetzaveh. How do I know that has to be done? In other words, we have to understand like this. There's two parshias that talk about this miluim service. One is in Parshas Tetzaveh, where there Moshe Rabbeinu was told. Okay, we miss out on this point. Usually, you say, "What does Parshas Tetzaveh talk about?" What do we say?
Miluim.
Yeah, you're right now, but before today, it talks about the Big Day Kahuna. Parshas Truma talks about the vessels in the Mishkan. Parshas Tetzaveh talks about the Big Day Kahuna, and indeed it does. But then, starting from Parak Chavtes at Revi, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, "V'zeh hadov asher ta'aseh lohem. This is what you shall do to the Kohanim, lekadesh oisim lechayim li. This is how you inaugurate a Kohen." Okay? And we'll see it on the base. We're going to learn. We're going to need this for the future also. When Mashiach comes also, we're going to have to know, how do you inaugurate a Kohen? How does it work? How do you do it? So this was all said in Parshas Tetzaveh. And this is what he was going to have to do at the Miluim. Those 7 days when he was getting them ready, and finally the 8th day when they were going to do it on their own. And we'll see the differences between this Parshas and Tetzaveh, and then finally in Parshas Tzav, where he actually carried it out. And he did so. So here, when we're told this is what you have to do, the tzivo yivit, that's in Parshas Tetzaveh. There are some extra things that they actually did that are stated in Parshas Tzav, which are not explicitly stated in Parshas Tetzaveh. So the Gemara here says that very good, everything that it says in Parshas Tetzaveh by the Tzivui, that's going to be ma'akev if you don't have it. But what about those things that are said that it was done in Parshas Tzav, but it was never said to Moshe Rabbeinu explicitly that he has to do it? What's an example of that? An unfair question. I don't know. You have to go look in the parsha. Go look into Tzaveh and see, go look in Tzav and see what's added in Tzav that is not in Parshas Tetzaveh. And you will find it's interesting. An interesting way to know it in Parshas Tzav is also at Revi. Okay, Tetzav is at Revi, the commandment for the Miluim. What do you have to do to Kohanim? And in Parshas Tzav is at Revi, what actually was done. Okay, when Hashem commanded him to go do it. And one of the things that is stated in Parshas Tzav, Rashi here points out, is you put the choshen, you put the breastplate on Aaron HaKohen, vayiten al choshen, you put into the choshen, es ha'urim v'satumim. The Urim v'tumim are put in. And if you look in Parshas Tetzaveh, it says nothing about the Urim v'tumim. So the Gemara is asking, so what happens if you don't have the Urim v'tumim? Is that going to be ma'akev or not? If you say everything that it says by the Miluim, by the commandment of the Miluim and Parshas Tetzaveh, that's ma'akev. That you must have. But the Urim V'Tumim is not one of those things that are listed over there. It's only listed when he actually carried it out, the Urim V'Tumim is said. So that's Rashi's example. How do we know even such a thing, which is not explicitly said in the commandment to Moshe, but it is only said when he carried it out? How do we know that too is going to be Ma'akev, that you must have that? Is that clear?
You're asking about whether it's Ma'akev, but it was done. So...
But the question is, what if it would not have been done?
I understand, but it was. So I'm sort of like...
How do we know it was done?
Because it says so in Parshas Tzav.
But Parshas Tzav, it says, this is what you shall do, Moshe Rabbeinu. Take Aaron right now and give over the begadim. And Moshe Rabbeinu went and he said, this is what you have to do. And he brought Aaron close and he did this to carry it out. But we want to know, what happens if something would have been missing? Right? What would have been missing? Yeah. Now, you're asking a part of what the Gemara is going to ask a little further down this Amud. Like, you know, what are you asking how things were done if there was something in the past?
Yeah.
So the Gemara is going to address that. Okay. So that's Rashi's example. What if the Urim V'Tumim, which is not said in Parashat Tetzav, only said in Parashat Tzav? Now, if you remember from last week's discussion, at the end of last week, we mentioned this Rashi is really Lishitasai, meaning going according to his own opinion. Because Rashi says that if you don't have the Urim V'Tumim, are you still a kosher Kohen? And as could you still serve in the Beis HaMikdash even if you don't have the Urim V'Tumim? So we mentioned, yes, and that indeed Rashi and the Ravid both hold that even if you don't have the Urim V'Tumim, for instance, like, at what time didn't they have the Urim V'Tumim? The second Beis HaMikdash, they lacked the Urim V'Tumim, says Rashi. But still, even if you don't have the Urim V'Tumim, it's still, you're still a kosher Kohen. We mentioned that the Rambam Shita and Tosfos at the end of the first parak, they hold that what? That the Urim V'Tumim was an integral part of the Choshen. And if you are lacking the Urim V'Tumim, if you're lacking that piece of parchment stuck into the folds of the Urim V'Tumim, then you're not wearing the proper begadim. In other words, we explain in the Rambam Shita that the Rambam holds when it says to make the Choshen, you know what it means to make? Make that breastplate together with the Urim V'Tumim. It's part and parcel of the Urim V'Tumim. So therefore, according to the Rambam, we could understand that actually the Urim V'Tumim is explicitly said in Parshas Tetzaveh. Why? Because when it says put on the Choshen, it means the Choshen and all that goes with it. So if so, the Achrenim speak out that the Rambam is going to have to learn this Gemara. What's the example here of something that is stated in Parshas Tetzaveh? Sorry, that's not stated in Parashat Tetzaveh, but is stated in Parashat Tzav. They'll have to learn like the Tosfos Rid. It's the precious Shiva Yamim before the Miluim. Because that's not said in Parashat Tetzaveh, but it is said in Parashat Tzav. It's learned out in Parashat Tzav. Kasher Tziva Hashem La'aseis L'chaper. But it doesn't say to Parashat Tetzaveh. So that's how the Rambam will learn this question. How do we know something that explicitly says, that does not explicitly say in Tetzaveh, but it said in Tzav, how do we know that's within the cards of should it be Ma'akev? And that will be the Gemara's question over here. On that, the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Yalif, Pesach, Pesach. We have Gzeirah Shavah. It says several times the word Pesach. You go to the door of the Oil Mayed. It says it several times by the Tzavah, the commandment in Parashas Tetzaveh. And it says it by Parashas Tzav as well. And we equate everything that is said in Parashas Tzav, you connect also to Parashas Tetzaveh. And it's as if everything is written in Parashas Tetzaveh as well. And therefore, if you hold everything that it says by the Miluim during those 7 days of inauguration, then the 8th day of finally the service will be Ma'akev. This will be Ma'akev as well. Rav Mesharshi Omar, a different way I learn it out. It says, "Ushmartem is Mishmeres Hashem." You have to guard the Mishmeres Hashem, meaning you have to have an extra watchfulness over it. So it's not Gzeirah Shavah, but that extra term of Mishmeres, you need a Shimur to watch that everything is Ikuva. And finally, a third way we're going to learn it out, Rav Ashi Omar says, Kichein Tzuvesi. And the fact that it says in Parashas Tzav, Kichein Tzuvesi, because so I was commanded, that connotes Ikuva. Fine. That's the end of this Gemara. We're going to pick up in a few lines about further about the Miluim. But now the Gemara digresses for a moment, just for a few lines, because since it mentioned these words, Ki Chein Suvesi, the Gemara is now going to talk about this, which is a fascinating little story that also sometimes we just glance over because we don't know all the background, and we don't know all the Teresh Baal Peh. We don't have what went on behind the scenes. We just have the words in the Torah, and it's not always so clear. So here we're going to get a little bit of a glimpse to what took place on the day of the eighth day of the Miluim. Again, the Miluim are that block of 7 days where Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron and his sons what to do. And then finally, the eighth day, which turned out on what date? What day was the eighth day of the Miluim? Rosh Chodesh Nisan, exactly. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the first day that the Mishkan was established to start doing Avodah in the Mishkan. Who did the Avodah? Aaron and his sons. So that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, well, a lot of things happening that day. Why? First of all, they had to bring special karbonos because it was the Miluim. It was the first day that you were inaugurating the Mishkan, and therefore there were going to be specific karbanos that would be brought that day. No other time will they be brought. They're going to be brought that day. Specifically, there was going to be a mincha brought, a shlomim brought, and a chatas brought. And of chatas, there were going to be a few of them. But it would be a mincha, shlomim, and a chatas. Okay? Some of those, for example, a mincha and a shlomim, were going to be brought specifically for that day because you were inaugurating the Mishkan for the first time. And there will be no other in the future times, next year, the next week, next year, you will not bring them anymore. Then there were other karbanos that were brought. For example, being it was Rosh Chodesh, what did they have to bring? The karban they have to bring on Rosh Chodesh. That's called the Se'irei Rosh Chodesh. You have to bring a special goat for the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh. They brought that on that day. And they were going to bring that on every subsequent Rosh Chodesh as well. Okay? There was also another carbon that was brought. It was the first day that the Nasiim, the Nasi of every Shevet, was going to bring a carbon. Well, that was called the Carbon Nasiim. And who was the first Nasi? From the Shevet Yehuda, right? None other than Nachshon Ben Aminadab. So it was going to be Karban. So it was a very busy day. Okay? So these are all the Karbanas that had to be brought. As well, we know of a famous tragedy that happened on that day. Of two very big tzaddikim who died. Who was that? Aaron's sons, Nadav and Avihu. When Nadav and Avihu died that day, their cousin Elitzafan was sent in and pulled out their bodies. But the show must go on. The karbanos have to be brought. The first day of inauguration of the Mishkan has to happen. So he had Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, and his two remaining sons, Elazar and Isamar, and they are called in Halacha, they have the status of, when you have a relative that you sit before an Oinein, Aninus, that precedes Avelus, Aninus period. And we know an Oinein, besides that he has a lot of very strange halachas, he can't do any mitzvahs, can't make any brachas, etc. But also we learn from a parsha, in Parshas Kisavah, it says, when it comes to Maiser, a person must proclaim and say, Lo yachalti ve'oini mimenu. I did not eat the Maiser when I was in a state of Aninus. So the Gemara teaches us that if you can't even eat Maiser, which is kachim kalim, it's a lighter form of kachim, you can't even eat that when you're in a state of aninus. Certainly you can't eat other kachim. A kohen may not eat kachim. He can't eat from the meat of a korban when he's in a state of aninus. So really, there was a major problem over here. Why? Because Aaron and his two sons, essentially, they were the kehanim, so they had to consume the meat of the korbanis, or let's say the flour and oil of the mincha, and yet they were einanim. They were in a state of aninus. So were they allowed to eat it or not? So the Gemara is going to teach us here that that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, this you can eat. Why? Ki chein tzuveisi. Because here Hashem made a special exception, that you may eat this. Ki chein tzuveisi, because that's how I was commanded. Now interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu says, ki chein tzuveisi. And he also says, ka asher tzuveisi. And he also says, ki chein tzuveisi, again. So, the Gemara is going to be bothered with that Rashi explains, but every time he told Aaron, this is what you have to do, ki chein tzuveisi, because Hashem told me to do, every time? No. These were specific commands over here. Why? Because it was really, it was a problematic halacha. It should have been that really Aaron and his sons could not have partaken in the meat and the mincha offerings. Why? Because they were in a state of aninus. So, kichein tzuveisi, I'm just giving you the background to this Gemara. The first one will be is that anything that's coming specifically for this time, namely anything that's coming as a carbon for the miluim, the mincha, the shlamim, that you're certainly allowed to eat. Now here comes something that Hashem did not explicitly tell Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is the sa'ir, the chatos of... of what? Of Rosh Chodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu, he assumed, listen, this is a special day for Aaron and his sons, and therefore there is a special heter, but there's a carte blanche heter. Any carbon for today you could eat. And Aaron HaKohen, he rationalizes, no, that special letter would only apply to things that are only coming today and will never come again. But something that's going to be L'doire, something that's going to be on subsequent days also, that shouldn't be within the special dispensation of Kohan meeting that. So actually Aaron, what he did was, he told his sons to go burn that chatas offering. Why? Because nobody could eat it. We're the only kohanim here. We're not allowed to eat it because we're in a state of aninus. What we're allowed to eat, the mincha, the shlamim, but the chatas go burn. When Moshe Rabbeinu found out that they burnt it, right? It was dorash, right? Dorash, dorash, Moshe, v'hinei soirav. He looked into the matter, he says, they burnt it, and he came running over, he says, hey, loy huva is dama panima. He said, what's the problem? Did something happen to the carbon that you couldn't eat it? Did it become puzzle? That's why you burnt it? In other words, he was saying, why did you not burn it? I mean, why did you burn it? Why did you not eat it? And Aaron HaKohen says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he say, Jonathan? What was his words back? Huh? Vayidaber Aaron al Moshe. He says, "Hey, now ye mikrivu es chatosam es oilosam vnei Hashem v'tak v'tikreni oise ko'ele." Right? Meaning that this tragedy happened and I became an einus because his two sons died. Should I even eat the carbon chatos of the Rosh Chodesh offering? Do you think that's what Hashem wanted? So it's so interesting. The point that here, Reb Tzadok HaKohen says that this is the first machloikis in history of darshaning something from the Torah. And it was between Moshe and Aaron. Amazing. The Moshe Rabbeinu argued, yeah, listen, you're just like the carbon from Mincha and the carbon Shlamim, you could eat today. Who adin, you should be able to eat the carbon Chatas. And Aaron says, no, these have a special reason why I should be able to eat them. The Chatas doesn't have to eat them. Is Vayishma Moshe Vayita Be'enov. Moshe Rabbeinu heard, he accepted it, and Vayita Be'enov. And that's what Rashi says, Hoide V'lay Boish. He says, you're right. That I didn't hear explicitly. Meaning to say, I wasn't trying to trick you. I didn't make, what I did was I made a mistake. I agree with you now. I argued that even this you should be able to eat. Now that I hear your svara, I hear your logic why I shouldn't be able to, indeed, then you're right and I agree. And this was never told to me. I just thought that on my own and you're bringing me a svara to the contrary and I agree with you. That was the dialogue between them. Now, actually, after that point, it says Kasha Tziva Hashem. And what was that for? Because now Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, oh, by the way, the Shlomim, don't think this is also something that I extended to say I had to on my own. This Hashem told me explicitly. The only problem is, this is what the Rishonim here speak out, that Kasha Tziva Hashem was before this dialogue. And yet we're understanding it as if it came afterward. And this is the famous rule that we had, Ein Muktam Umu'uchrim B'Torah, even though some, as that Pasuk says, as if it came first, we're going to say, no, it actually happened chronologically, it happened later. Okay? Pretty fascinating little story here of what happens in Torah and Parshas Shemini on that first day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Shemini Miluim. This is what took place. So again, now let's learn an insight. Tana Rabbanan, we're now 5 lines from the above in the top of the Yom. Tana Rabbanan, it says Kichein Tzuvesi, Kasher Tzivesi, and Kasher Tziv Hashem. I'm sorry, those are the 3 psukim. The 3 different words. Kichein Tzuvesi, Kasher Tzivesi, Kasher Tziv Hashem. Kichein Tzuvesi, what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Ba'anino is yechlu, that you're allowed to eat these karbonis even in your state of aninus. Kasher Tzivesi, that he said b'shas maise, and when it actually happened that they went and burnt the sarachatas of Rosh Chodesh, he said, why did you burn that? Kasher Tzivesi, I was commanded that you're allowed to eat it. And then Aaron says, no, I don't think you were commanded about the chatas. And he says, you're right, I wasn't commanded about the chatas. I just thought it's the same halacha. B'shas Maisa Omalem, that's when he told them. And then the third one, Kasher Tziva Hashem, that's afterwards when he came about the Shlomim, he says, this is what Hashem said, V'loi me'elai ani omer. I'm not saying this on my own. And as you might think, this also I'm saying on my own, I'm making my own comparison. No, this I was explicitly said. So the first one was the Mincha, the second one was about the Chatos, which Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and the third one was about the Shlomim. Very good. We now go to the next Gemara. Also, something, you read the Psukim, you'll never pick up on such a thing, unless you read certain Mefarshim. And here you learn the Gemara, it's an amazing thing. So for those that didn't see the next Gemara, I'll just ask you a trivia question. How many articles of clothing does a regular Kohen wear?
4.
And how many does a Kohen Gadol wear?
8.
Very good. So, off the top of our heads, how many of the Begadim could we name that are listed in the Torah? Yeah, so what are some of the articles of clothing? That both, they go a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyot, that they both, the what? The Ksaines, the Tzitz, the Ephod, the Ketones, the tunic, the Me'il, the robe, the Mitznefes, the hat, the Mitznesayim, the pants, the Avnate, and the belt. There we go, we got 8 of them. You know what's ironic about this? Huh? Well, the Choshen, yeah. The Choshen is with the Ephod, yeah. Yeah. Choshen of Ephod, yeah. The ironic thing about this is that it doesn't say the Michnasayim. It also doesn't say the Tzitz. When it's, you would think, okay, here's the list of, this is in the beginning of Parsha Tetzaveh. Okay? You, don't trust me, look it up yourself. The beginning of Parsha Tetzaveh. It says, bring Aaron and his son's clothes. Make them clothing that will be for honor and glory for them. And these are the begotten that you should make. You ready? Choshen, ve'efeid, me'il, k'sayinis tashbeitz, mitznefes, ve'avneit. That's 6. Ve'asubik de'kodesh, la'ar nechicha. What's missing? Says the Rechaim, the most kodesh is missing, the tzitz, and the most mundane, if you will, the mechnasayim. Doesn't say that. What happened? Everybody knows this 8 begotten. Everyone knows the Kohen Gadol is that sits in Michnasayim. Right? What happened? So we'll see Michnasayim is a whole discussion. First of all, here we're going to ask Michnasayim, it doesn't even say it. So how do we know that it's one of the articles of clothing that have to be done? And some of us want to say, you know where it says Michnasayim? You know where it says about it? This is the beginning of Parshat Tetzaveh. If you go further on in Parshat Tetzaveh, let's see, this is right before Revi. It says, just in passing, it says, Va'aseh lohem michnesei vod, you shall make pants out of linen, lechasois besar erva, to cover their erva. So some actually want to say that there's two types of begodim. The Kohen Gadol has begodim that are lechaveid l'sefaris. And then there's one beged that's actually not for glorification purposes, but it's lechasois besar erva. That's the only purpose. It's sort of just, it's there to serve as a function to cover the erva. The Kohen Gadol shouldn't be exposed. And some Rishonim want to say, actually, as we'll see, the process was that Moshe Rabbeinu had to dress Aaron and his sons. And some want to say that the Ramban, Devin Ezra, I think, says this as well, that the Mechnasayim was put on by Aaron by himself. Because that's Lechaseis Psar Erva. That's different. You know, so we just lump up, oh yeah, all the big dekuna, sure, 4, 8. It's not so. The Mechnasayim are different. And here our Gemara introduces us to this when it says like this. Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina. Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina Mechnasayim in Ksuvim Beparsha. Rabbi Yosi noticed it. And he says, hey, you know what? Mechnasayim, it doesn't say in the list of begodim, it doesn't say that you shall put on the Mechnasayim. Rashi points out, it doesn't say it by the command in Parsha Tetzaveh, and it doesn't say it when he actually had to carry it out in Parsha Tetzaveh. So how do we know the Kohen Gadol had to wear Mechnasayim? Says the Gemara, Kishu Oimer, Vizeh Hadov Asher Ta'as Elohem, L'kadei Shoysim L'chayin, that extra Vav, we have a cloud Vav, Moisev Alin Yerishin, the Vav adds on to whatever was talking about beforehand, and since beforehand it did talk about Mechnasayim in that Parsha, so when it says Vizeh Hadov, and this is what you can demand, you remember that Pasuk we quoted from Mechnasayim? It says Va'aseh Lohem Mechnasei Vod. That's in the Parsha right before this. So when it says Vizeh Hadover, we add Lohaviyah Mechnasayim. And not only Mechnasayim, it adds another thing. What else? Va'asiras Ha'efa. Asiras Ha'efa, what's that? So a Kohen Gadol every day had to bring a special carbon. A mincha. It was an Asiras Ha'efa, a tenth of an Efa of flour, a mincha offering. He would bring a whole one, this is a Gemara Menachos, for those that are learning it. He brought a whole Asiras Ha'efa, he split it up, half he brought in the morning, half he brought in the afternoon. Every Kohen, when he would be inaugurated the first time to do Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, he also would bring a mincha offering. It's called the Minchas Kohanim. Okay? So this extra word, Vizeh, teaches us also the Asira Sa'ifa. The Gemara asks, Bishlema Mechnasayim, I can understand why you want to include Mechnasayim in this. Ksivi Be'inyana de Begodim. Because in the parasha before, when it talks about the garments, the clothing of the Kohanim, it does mention Mechnasayim. But Al Asira Sa'ifa, Minolan. Doesn't say anything about Asira Sa'ifa in the parasha before this. So what are you bringing in Asiras Eifa? There's no mention made of it. So the Gemara says, you're right, we learned it from a different place. Asya Zeh Zeh. We have a Gzeres Shavah from the Pasuk, Mivezeh Karban Aaron Nubono Vashay Yakuv Al Hashem Asiras Eifa. This is the special carbon that Aaron, who is a Kohen Gadol, brings it every day. Ubono, that bringing the first day that they have to be inaugurated to do Avodah, Asiras Eifa. It says Vizeh over here, and it says Vizeh by the Miluim, Gzeres Shavah. Says the Gemara like this. A new thing. Amar Rabbi Yechon Amishum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. Minayin Sha'af Mikra Parsha Ma'akev. How do we know even the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to sort of give a, for lack of a better term, a play-by-play to the whole Klal Yisrael. How do we know that he was switched? Because it says by, in Parshas Tzav, by the, again, by Revi, where it talks about the Miluim. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimer, take Aaron HaKohen and the Begodim and the Shemen HaMishcha, because you're going to be dressing them, you're going to be putting the oil on them, and the Parachatos, Ve'es Kol Ho'edo Hakel El Pesach Oil Moed, and bring everybody there, they should observe this. Vayas Moshe Kasher Siv Hashem Vatikoh Eloed El Pesach Oil Moed. Okay? Vayomer Moshe lo Eda, Moshe Rabbeinu said to the congregation there, the assembly, Zeh hadavar shechiv Hashem la'aseh. This is what Hashem commanded to do. So everybody had to hear from Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Gemara, that how do we know, minay sha'af mikra parsha ma'akev, how do we know that even the reading of the parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu had to do to the assembly, how do we know that was ma'akev, that must have been done? So the Gemara says, Tam Leimer, the pasuk we just read, Vayomer Moshe la'eda zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem. We say the word davar, afilu dibur ma'akev. Okay? Dibur and Dovar is interchangeable. We had it, I believe we had it already in this Masechet, that Dovar could mean Dibur as well. Okay? One reason is, for those that are interested in the this type of Torah, because what does the word Dibur mean?
Speech.
What does the word Dovar mean? A thing. Why do they share the same letters? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything. When He created every Dovar, how did He do it? Through a Dibur. Right? But, right? Hashem said something, He said a dibur, and then it became a thing. Everything exists in this world because Hashem wills it to be. And in our understanding, He said it should be, and that's a dover. Okay. Now Margo says like this, Ketzad Hilbishon. How did Moshe Rabbeinu go about dressing the Kohanim? And we'll see what the real question, the underlying question here is did he dress Aaron HaKohen, all 8 Begadim, and then start with his sons? Or did he dress with most of the Begadim and stop before one of the articles of clothing, namely the Avnate, the belt? And we'll see this, we're going to see that from Pesukim. But the Gemara's question that starts off is, Ketzad Halbishon, how did Moshe Rabbeinu dress the Kohanim? The Gemara says, Ketzad Halbishon, how did he dress them? Ma'ida hava hava. We're asking how. You're asking as if this is something that's relevant to today's times. We don't want to, whatever was done. Right? He dressed them. Why does it make any relevance for us? So you must say, Ella, no. What we're asking is, Ketzad Malbishon La'osid Lavei. When the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt, and Aaron and his sons will serve in the Beis Hamikdash, and Moshe Rabbeinu will put the clothing on them, how will it go? This is something. When Mashiach comes, and the Beis Hamikdash will come, and it's going to be Karbonis. We'll have to see what Karbonis offer at that point. They're not the same as Karbonis that we have and we had in the last 2 Bat Hamikdashos. And how is Moshe Rabbeinu going to go about dressing the Kohanim? Oh, that's something relevant, right? Now here you're going to base on me, this could be tomorrow. So we want to know how it happens. But the Gemara says, I'm still not satisfied with the question. In the future, Nami. He'll tell us exactly what to do. So here you see, this is a much longer discussion, but here you see that before the Beis HaMikdash is built, it could be right before, it could be maybe a little short while before, Moshe Rabbeinu will be resurrected. And Aaron HaKohen will be resurrected.
Well, is this part of the general PSMACM or just the special one?
Ah, very good question, Dennis. Not necessarily. This is part of a the truth is, there's going to be a small group of tzaddikim that also will be resurrected before Mashiach comes. Okay, that the Ritva tells us in Masechtas Tainis, all those that longed for the Beis Hamikdash during the Galus, they'll be zeichet to be resurrected, even if they had died, to be there present and appreciate when the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. In addition to that, and obviously Moshe Rabbeinu falls into that category, Moshe and Aaron and his sons will also have Tkiyas HaMeisim, and they will be there when Mashiach comes. So we say, what's the problem? We have to figure it out. Moshe Rabbeinu will be there. He'll tell us exactly what to do. Right? As a matter of fact, he did it the first time, right? So let him do it the second time. This also gets into a whole other discussion, which we don't have time for. I'm thinking maybe we'll have it actually, maybe Shavuos night, we'll give it as a longer shiur. That, why do they have to be inaugurated again, Aaron? And weren't they inaugurated once? I mean, once a Kohen, always a Kohen, right? Right?
Changes when you die.
Changes when you die. Shh. Very interesting. That's a very good conclusion, doctor. When the person dies, he loses his kahunaship. That's it. Right? No more social security, no number, no more kahunaship. Right? As a matter of fact, you have been mechavin to the Ramban, who said such a thing. Okay? The problem is, there seems to be a chazal contrary to that. Okay? And also there seems to be a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which also says that when they will get up, they will just assume their kahunaship automatically. So, seems to be conflicting opinions here of what will happen. As if this Gemara seems to say, they do have to be dressed again, they do have to be initiated, inaugurated again. Okay, so the Gemara is...
They're not even Kohanim anymore when they're benefiting? Or they're Kohanim, but they have to be
reinstated.
Okay.
Right. They have to get their license again. They're still a doctor, right? But they can't practice without a license. So they're still Kohanim, but they can't do the Avodah without being inaugurated, right? And that's going to take Moshe Rabbeinu to do. So again, Gemara says, so what's the question? Ella, here's our question. Keitzad Helbishon, we want to know how did he get them dressed? Because Lemizbar Kroi. Because we want to know how to explain the Psukim. In other words, the Gemara is going to go into that. We have conflicting Psukim over here. And we're not sure how to understand the Psukim. One Pasuk is Mashma, that he put on all of the belts at once on the Kohanim, both Aaron and his sons. Another Pasuk is Mashma, no, he dressed Aaron in full garb, all eight begotten, and then he went to do the big day kahuna of the Kohen Hedjit. So what went on over here? So we want to know, how do you understand the Psukim? On that we're allowed to learn. Even though it could be something that won't be relevant because it's in the past, even when it's in the future, Moshe Rabbeinu would do it, but if it's something that could have a discussion and learning of Psukim, then it's something that's relevant that we could ask. So we'll see, the Gemara is going to say actually it's a machlekes between Bnei Rabchia and Rabbi Yechanan. Let's go a few more lines here. Pligibo Bnei Rabchia, who their names are Yehudi and Chizkia, and Rabbi Yechanan. Chad Omar that Aharon v'achakach bonov. First he dressed Aaron and then the sons. V'chad Omar Aaron ubonov bevasachas. In other words, we'll see, it means that he says that they put the belt on all at once. Omar Abaye. B'ksaynes u'mitznefes, with the tunic and the hat. And Rashi points out, and every other article of clothing that had to be worn. And Rashi says, just the Ksainis and the Mitznefes are begotten that were sheared both by the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot. So we gave those two. But Rashi, all the begotten. What about the Nichnasayim? That Rashi says, Mechnasayim, it didn't have to, because they were, it wasn't even in the list of clothing, because that was put on beforehand. Okay. But the Abayis of the Ksainis and Mutznafes, Kuli Amalei Pliyi Da'arayin V'akakak Bonav. Why? The Bain B'Tzavo, both by the command in Parsha Tetzaveh, or Bain Ba'asiyah, and when the actual carrying it out in Parsha Tetzaveh, when he was told, Aaron was Kadim. There clearly the Psukim say, Aaron first is put on. Ki Pligi, when is the Machlokes here? The Avnei. The Machlokes is by the belt. Man da Omer Aaron V'achakach Bonov. He says, first Aaron was put on all his clothing and his belt. And then the sons will put on their clothing in the belt. It says, "Vayachar oisay ba'avneit," and you put him on with the belt. And then it says, "Vayachar oisam avneit," and you put on the belt on them. That the belt was put on Aaron and his sons all at once. We'll see. Obviously, you can't do it all at once. We're talking only Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't put on three belts at once. The Gemara will ask that. Dichsev, because it says, "Vechagarta oisam Aaron Uvanov," and you will tie them, Aaron and his sons. So you see, it has to be done all at once. So that's the machlokes over here. Now, obviously, the psukim conflict each mandama. What do you do with the other pasuk? Right? So we'll have to save Mitzvah Hashem for next week.